Moncrief on News Talk.
A couple of months ago, a man named Richard Slayman received the world's first transplant of a pig's kidney. He has recently died, but this isn't the first time that pig organs have been transplanted into a human. So why pigs? Dr. Adam Griesner is an associate professor of surgery at NYU Langone Health and was one of the surgeons who worked on that transport. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
So why pigs, Adam?
In the 60s and 70s, we actually transplanted organs from non-human primates, chimpanzees and baboons, into humans. And they had reasonable outcomes. One patient actually survived for 9 months. But we stopped doing that in the 90s because we were concerned about viruses being transmitted from primates to humans. And we think that's how HIV got transmitted to humans from chimpanzees, not through transplant, but through exposure of humans with their contact with chimpanzees. And there are not enough primates in the world to solve the deficit of the number of organs that we have for transplantation and the number of people that need a transplant. And primates are like humans. They have one offspring at a time. It takes them a long time for gestation, and it takes a long time for the primates to grow up to be the right size for their organs to be transplanted to humans. So pigs have a lot of large litters at one time. They grow up very fast, and in 9 months, a pig's organs are the right size for a human transplant. And we don't believe there are a lot of potential for viruses or bacteria to be transmitted from pigs to humans after the transplant. For those reasons, we are doing transplants from pigs. Now, it makes it harder because the immune response from a human against a pig organ is much more severe than it is against a human for a non-human primate organ, because we're more similar genetically to non-human primates. Mm. So we have, over the past 10 years, attempted to make pig organs more human. With the CRISPR-Cas gene editing technology, we are starting to humanize the pig organs to some degree by changing the expression of carbohydrates and proteins on the surface of the pig organs, so that the human immune system recognizes that organ as a more closely related organ than it would be otherwise. Oh. And we don't have as strong of rejection, and we don't have to use as much or as intense of immunosuppression to prevent the immune response of the human against the pig organ.
And that use of the CRISPR on the pig organs, is that just on the organ itself or on the animal as a whole?
It's the whole pig. And one of the challenges is that the more genetic modifications you make in the pig, the less well they breed. So there are kind of two schools of thought in the field. One is to modify the organ as much as possible. But right now, at least, all of those highly modified organs, you have to clone the animals because they're not breeding very well.
Right.
And the organ that this gentleman received had 69 genetic modifications made into it before it was transplanted. At our center, we have the other strategy. We're using less modified organs, with the hope that if that is successful and that's what we're doing is enough, then those pigs can be bred and we can get a large number of those organs for transplant right away.
Yeah, and the organs of a pig, are they roughly the same size as the respective human organs?
If you're looking at a farm pig, then no. They're much bigger, but there are breeds of pigs called miniature swine that are found in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And they become about the same size as humans. And so those organs stop growing at the right size.
Right. Okay. Right. So the specific breeds of pig will do the trick for you. Now, as I understand it, another kidney transplant has taken place over the last few weeks.
Yeah, that was done at our center. The patient is a little bit over a month from the transplant and the kidney's working well. One of the challenges that we have in this field is the FDA authorizes these on a case-by-case basis, and it's for patients that don't have any other option and are expected to die in a short interval if they don't get the transplant. So that means they have a lot of other medical issues, and that can impact the survival of the patient. So this particular patient that just passed away appeared to die from cardiac complications and not because of any dysfunction with the kidney, according to the initial reports. So, you know, we're doing this on patients that are otherwise also very sick, and that does shorten the survival that we might be able to achieve if we were doing these on otherwise healthy patients. But Ethically, we have to start with patients with no other option and show that these are working well before we take them to patients that would have other options for a transplant or for survival.
Sure. And even from these two instances of it, have you learned a lot?
We have. Our center has also done transplants from pig organs to patients who were declared brain dead but couldn't donate their organs for other reasons. So transplants into that type of patient allows us to learn a lot without risking someone's life, or if it doesn't work well, no one dies because they're already dead. So we've learned a lot about the immune response from a human to these pig organs, and we've also learned how well the pig organs reproduce the physiology of a human organ. Particularly for kidneys, they also secrete a lot of hormones that help us regulate our salt and water balance and our blood pressure. And we found that some of them don't work quite right. Fortunately, we have medications that can replace those. So we've learned what medications we have to use to supplement those functions that are not working as well as if they got a human kidney.
Are there any other parts of pigs that could potentially be transplanted to humans?
Hearts and kidneys are the two most promising based on our preclinical studies. Transplants of lungs don't work very well when we've modeled those in the lab. And the liver is too active of an organ, I think, to replace a human's organ long term. A group at University of Pennsylvania using the same pig that with the 69 genetic modifications has actually studied whether that pig organ can provide support for someone who has an acute liver injury. So if the liver stops working for a period of time, but we expect that it may be able to recover, can you use the pig organ for a temporary period of time so that the patient doesn't die from the organ dysfunction? And they've gotten some pretty positive results from that. So the pig liver may be able to bridge someone to recovery of their own liver. But right now, it doesn't appear that it's a long-term option for replacing a human transplant.
And is the use of pigs in this way, are you looking at this as a long-term option or something kind of for the intermediate term until we have some other way of replicating human organs that can be transplanted straight into patients?
Right now, we're looking at this as their long-term option. So hopefully we can get this so that human recipients of pig organ transplants live as long as if they had gotten a human transplant. Now, long-term, the field is looking at taking pig organs and removing the pig cells and replacing them with human stem cells. So you're almost growing a human organ. And there's the potential that you can actually grow an organ from the particular recipient's stem cells. So that in essence, you're growing them a second heart of their own or a second kidney of their own. And after the transplant, they won't need to take immunosuppression. But that technology is still early in its development. And for the time being, I personally see xenotransplantation being the dominant technology that we use, with the stem cell technology maybe being 20 or 30 years off.
Adam, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Adam Griesemer there, Associate Professor of Surgery at NYU Langone Health.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.